Welcome to An Hour to Give, and today we're going to be talking about Shepherds of Good Hope, and I have in the studio Deirdre Freiheit. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Deirdre, what's your role at the Shepherds of Good Hope?
I'm President and CEO of Shepherds of Good Hope, as well as Shepherds of Good Hope Foundation.
What a huge job that is. You have an opportunity to not only work with, of course, your incredible staff, mm-hmm. but the volunteers, and of course, the people that are coming to you for care.
Right. Yeah, I think I have the best job in town.
You do. It really is. It's a big, big job, but one that would be incredibly rewarding.
Mm-hmm. It's when you work at the community level, you see the impact of the work that you do and the work that you do with others. So we have such a big community. I always think of Shepherds as a community of people that are employees, volunteers, community partners. We work with Ottawa Inner City Health for health and wellness services in our programs. Wonderful relationship with the police, the paramedics, just the community at large. So we're very, very fortunate.
And I think no organization can just stand alone anymore.
No.
You need those community partnerships. Can you tell us a little bit about how small businesses could get involved with you?
Mm-hmm. We have all kinds of ways to become involved with Shepherds. We work with the community, with partners to provide in-kind and financial donations to Shepherds of Good Hope because there is a gap in funding that we receive from government sources to provide programs and services. And we have to make up that shortfall because, you know, nobody can be all things to all people. So small businesses can get involved by helping to donate both funds and in kind. So, for example, we often work with hotels to have them donate their towels when they're finished, linen services, those kinds of things. We go through a lot of towels in the shelter and in supportive housing. A big need for us is food donations. We have a lot of donations from volunteers for food. We're serving about 700 meals in the kitchen every day in the soup kitchen, and we can't meet that need without help. We additionally have to purchase a lot of food, and we also get some assistance from the food bank. So food is our very high need, and we spend a fair amount of money on food as well as the donations that we get.
The Shepherds of Good Hope has certainly evolved over the years,
mm-hmm.
and you've evolved as the community has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak a little bit about how someone comes into the Shepherds of Good Hope and maybe what their journey would be?
Sure. Often we're the first point of contact for people who are experiencing homelessness, and especially those who have multiple traumatic events in their lives. They may be suffering from an addiction. They may have mental health issues. There's certainly all of that is rooted in trauma. We've had that conversation many times, and, you know, often people are not just struggling with one issue. They have many, and it's rooted in many things. They may have had a traumatic childhood. They may have had a traumatic experience in their life. They might have lost a job. They may have had a divorce. Just all kinds of things can impact people and how they become homeless. And so we see people who are very broken often as their last resort. They might come to us first. The nice thing about, I think one of the really nice things that we do is we have such an array of expertise in our organization, social workers, criminologists, frontline workers, people who are work in client services. So from the first point of contact, we try to connect with somebody immediately and find out what's the best way for us to help them connect to the services that they need so that they can take the next step in their journey. And really, our focus is also expanding into supportive housing. We have 5 supportive housing residences across the community from the downtown core all the way up to Kanata, and we're building another one in the East End, which we hope to have up and running hopefully by summer of next year. And that's really to get people out of homelessness and into housing. And as I think most people know, there's a housing crisis in Ottawa right now. There are not enough places to put people. So we see people from the very beginning of their journey to when they're becoming housed as well. So it's quite gratifying when you see that whole journey. And sometimes it takes a long time. People are not ready, and sometimes they have to try often. So we're very open to multiple tries and making sure that we meet people wherever they are in their journey without judgment whatsoever.
It's really interesting because, like you say, for every individual, the reason for being homeless is as unique as them.
Exactly.
And I think it's really easy to drive down King Edward Street and say, oh, how come, you know, you can't just get a job? And there's just, that's where we really need, and this is a great opportunity for you to educate the public and really say it's not about that. Some people could have a trauma in their childhood and they've never recovered from it and never had those opportunities to maybe go to school or gain employment or overcome an addiction.
Right. It's very easy for many of us who have not had those experiences to say, just pull up your socks, right? If I'm a child and I don't have support at home for whatever reason, you know, if you're a child and you grow up with people who have substance abuse issues because of their own trauma, or if you're an Indigenous person who's gone through the residential school trauma, if you are somebody who has experienced a marital breakdown, there's so many reasons that can factor into people becoming homeless. If it was as easy as just pulling up your bootstraps and getting a job, people would do that. Nobody chooses to be homeless. I don't think anybody would ever wake up and say, I'd like to be an addict tomorrow. You know, life happens to people. And I think we've got a lot of work to do to break down the stigma attached to homelessness. And if you compare it to the healthcare system, if people go through a traumatic health issue, such as cancer, for example, I was having this discussion with somebody today, you don't tell somebody, well, you didn't get through your treatment and you haven't been cured, so you're not going to get help. You need to go away because you're not finished that journey or because it didn't work. You know, we would treat that person with dignity and we would treat them in every way possible to help them get back to health. Why would we treat people who are homeless or who struggle with addictions or their mental health any differently? Everybody deserves to have that support.
And I think, you know, the way that I've always looked at homelessness is there by the grace of God go I. It could be you or I tomorrow. And I think those are the opportunities. And one of the things I think that motivates donors to give.
Absolutely. If I'm going to donate my hard-earned money, I want to know that it's making an impact. And how better to make an impact than help somebody, you know, who has experienced a lot of trauma in their life get to that next place in their journey. If it was your child, wouldn't you want somebody to help them? If it was your brother or your sister or your parent, anybody you know, your closest friend, this, you know, homelessness can happen to anybody. And, you know, for all the reasons we just talked about, you can make a big impact by giving a donation to an organization that is there to help people when they are at their most vulnerable.
Absolutely. And we've just come off a really long winter. I mean, let's hope it's gone now.
I hope so.
But as we head towards Easter, what are the challenges that the Shepherds of Good Hope would face in the spring and the summertime?
It's interesting because a lot of people think immediately when it gets cold that the shelters are going to be immediately full. And all of us have been full. All of the shelters, we are full. There is a great need in the city right now. Our numbers actually go up in the summertime. So going into the spring and the summer and the nicer weather, we often experience an increase. People come to Ottawa because it's a city where there's a lot of opportunity, and sometimes they don't return to where they were coming from initially. So we do see an impact that goes up when the nice weather comes. But regardless, you know, weather doesn't dictate somebody's mental health or addictions in the sense that, you know, the weather won't determine whether or not your mental health is good or bad on any given day. If you're struggling, you're struggling, and the time of year is not going to impact that. So the need for us is year round, and unfortunately, the need for us is year round. So we hope that people, what we see often at Christmas time is everybody wants to give, and it's such a wonderful experience to go through when people are dropping donations off and giving their time and their money to help the cause. Those needs, though, don't dissipate in the spring or the summer. So the needs will stay the same. We'll need food. We'll need to supply people with food. We'll need to supply them with shelter. We'll need to give them access access to supports. So those needs are still continuing.
No, absolutely. And I love the concept of time, talent, and treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Someone giving of their time, giving of their talents. Maybe they're a board member for you,
right.
or they've given to you. Think about something like Maxis Staffing and Consulting, mm-hmm. who they've come in and done incredible things for
right.
you. And then you think about treasure, someone giving a gift to you, whether it be a gift in your will or even an annual gift or a monthly
right.
gift. How important is that concept to the Shepherds of Good Hope?
It's exceptionally important because one of the things that we have done over the years is expand as the need expands. So providing shelter, providing food, and then getting people into supportive housing and housing with those kinds of supports, that need will not go away.
Deirdre, in closing, what would you say to donors?
I would say thank you. I would say thank you for donating food, for donating funding, and for helping us to help the community in the way that we do. Thank
you
so much.
Yeah, you really can't do it without them.
Not at all. We can't do it without them at all.
And we're going to be hearing from one of the people that have gone through your program, Stephanie.
Right.
She's going to be sharing with us her journey. So stay with us on An Hour to Give. And I want to thank you so much, Deirdre Freiheit, for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Sam.
Stay with us. Welcome back to An Hour to Give, and I am really excited today because when I have guests in the studio that are willing to share their story and share it from their heart and with the hope of really helping to change someone else's life, this is why we do this show. And I am really excited to welcome Stephanie Eastman to the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi. Nice
so
to meet you.
So you and I have something in common. We're both Valley girls.
Yes.
I was born in Oshawa, but I lived in Deep River for many years. And you're from?
Arnprior.
Mm-hmm. So we've got something in common there.
Yes. We've got to stick together.
Got to stick together, us Valley girls. You have an incredible story to share. And I'd like you to start off by telling us what your life is like today.
It's a complete turnaround. Everything has changed. Everything. There's not one thing that has not been changed in the past 3 years.
And we're going to tell listeners your story because it hasn't always been that way.
No, I struggled many years. I struggled and struggled.
And what was your struggle with? Drugs?
Drugs. Crack cocaine was the part of it.
How did you find yourself? Did you start with other drugs?
No, crack cocaine was my drug.
And you were a mom?
I was a mom, yeah.
Yeah.
I am a mom.
You are a mom,
yeah.
Of course. You'll always be a mom.
Yes, I will always be.
You'll always be a mom. And when you found yourself with the Shepherds of Good Hope on that very first night, can you take me back? Do you remember?
Scared, lost, lonely, didn't know what was going to happen, terrified, cried the whole night. There was not an ounce of me that I couldn't cry, but...
And was it crying, Stephanie, because you felt like you had lost hope or because you thought maybe this was an opportunity to find hope?
It was to find hope. I was reaching out. There was nothing more I could do at this point.
So take me back to that night. There's lots of tears. And at that point, were your children still with you?
No, I had decided to be the mom that we all do. I decided to take them and sit with my CAS worker and gave them up for adoption. Knowing that, and as the adoption worker, that it was like an open, when time come, I would be able to communicate. And that's what I'm doing now, mm-hmm. except I have the boys that I have to keep on working with their family, of course, right? I don't want to go above and beyond with that. It's just, it'll be when it can be. But right now I have connection with my daughter, with the foster, with the adopted moms.
Incredibly brave of you to do that.
That was the worst. I'll never forget that. I sat them down, all three of them, told them that mommy was sick. Mommy needs to get better. And I will always see you. You'll always be my children. I'll always love you. And that was my hardest thing that I'll ever go through in life. There's nothing.
I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. So I will say that to you. And I think you're very brave to come in and talk about it. But I think you're also really brave in the fact that you had to put yourself first.
I did. Because there, that time where I was, there was nothing. I had nothing. Absolutely nothing. So.
And so you go to the Shepherds of Good Hope, and a lot of people, you know, think of a homeless shelter or someone that's providing addictions treatment as sort of a last step. And I've always looked at it, and I'd love to know your thoughts, as it really is the first step.
It is, yeah. Like I said, like I went twice to the Shepherds of staying there and coming back. That last time that I stayed, it was for real for me. I connected with all my managers, my case managers. I did the proper thing there, you know what I mean? Before that, I did everything there. That was my spot. That was where I hung out. This is where I got my meals. This is how it was. So then knowing that and coming back into it for the second time to stay there, that's when I really reached out with the hope of knowing that I could find my place in life.
Did you ever think to yourself, there was a moment, or let me rephrase that. Was there a moment that you thought to yourself, I have to make this decision now?
Yeah.
That there is no more time for me.
Yeah. And that's what it was. I become 3 years clean, and I was on that roll. So I wasn't coming off of there. And then I ended up having a stroke my second attempt at staying there. I had a stroke. I couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't do anything.
How old were you when you had the stroke? Because you're a young woman.
Yes. And I'm trying to think really quick on date of when I had the stroke.
It's okay. Just roughly, was it a couple years ago?
Or? It's probably about 4 years ago, 3 years ago now. Three years ago now.
Okay.
It was in February. I do know that.
And that really changes your life, I bet.
Oh, big time. That was, like I said, I couldn't walk or talk. And the apartment that I was staying, I was paying rent there. And I just got out from the Shepherds. And yeah, I was, talk about lost. I couldn't write my name, my own name. Couldn't even write it.
You've come so far, Stephanie.
I couldn't even, I was renting a place that had stairs, like at least probably 12, 15 stairs. I said to the therapist, I said, how am I going to walk up to my own home? She says, wow. You'll be able to. And I said to her, and then in the hospital, that was my thing. So I was there for a week at the hospital when I had the stroke. And next thing I know, I get up that morning. I said, listen, I'm not staying in this bed. So you guys are going to make me walk. You're going to make me do something. Because I couldn't even put eyeliner on as a woman that does this every day.
I agree.
I couldn't even do that. So I said no. So I got a friend to come bring me my stuff that I needed on a daily base. That was my nail polish, my everything that you would need in a day. And there I was. My therapy was to get myself back to normal. I couldn't even put eyeliner. I was trying, but I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Couldn't focus on the alignment of... Mm-hmm. the stroke. Mm-hmm. So then the doctors came in. So within a week, I was back walking with the walker, the cane, but I worked hard that whole week. I worked hard.
You're very tenacious. Mm-hmm. You're very goal driven.
I am. That I am.
And so it's very inspiring to me mm-hmm. to hear that you've had, you know, a number of different setbacks in your mm-hmm. life, from addictions to obviously a health issue. Mm-hmm. What's kept you going?
I love life. Like, I'm not going to go nowhere too far, you know. I love my life. I love it. I'm sure I have my bad days. We all do as a down-to-earth person. But I love life. There's not a moment in life that I think, you know, I'm not happy. I have no regrets, really.
In terms of overcoming your addiction, do you credit the Shepherds of Good Hope?
For sure. Yeah. They've stood me 110%, 120%. They've always been there.
I often think about what our city would be like if we didn't have a Shepherds of Good Hope, because I do think many, many people wouldn't be with us today.
No, that's for sure.
You certainly...
We save so many people on a daily basis. You know, I don't work in the harm and reduction, but I mean, I know a lot of clients, I know a lot of residents, you know, and I've seen them over the years, and they are doing better for themselves. And, you know, it's great to see, because there is programs out there if people want them. It's not, you know, you got to really want it though as well.
You have a very important job.
Yes.
Tell everyone what you do.
I'm a peer support worker. I give counseling with them. I'm anything these women need on the third floor, they notify me. And I do a beauty and spa program, a hygiene program. There's nothing that they're not having.
And why do you think someone like yourself, who has probably been where they've been, is the best option for them as someone that can come in and really inspire them to maybe make a change?
And I've seen it through the 3 years that I've been working there, and they still come back to this day and they'll say, oh, wow, Steph, you're still here. Cool, cool. They'll be all happy. So, you know, just the face of them seeing me and knowing that what we do, it helps them to say, you know, wow, I did it too, right? And I said, yeah, you will do it. And I tell all my ladies, I said, there's not a day that goes by that if you want something, you can get it.
How does that keep you sober?
I just know for me, myself, I will never turn back there. Those were too dark of days that I won't go back. It's too, those are just too dark for me.
So when you walk into the front doors of the Shepherds of Good Hope now, what does that
feel? I feel great. I feel amazing. I feel like, you know, I just move mountains to the point where there's no, yeah, the sky is not even the limit for me. And I tell my ladies the same thing.
So you're an inspiring force there at the Shepherds
yes,
of Good Hope.
Yeah, yeah. They all love me. They all wave at me. Some days they may not like me, but, you know, they know I'm for real. I'm not a one that you're not going to see for real. This is really me. This is how it is. I lived it. I did the same steps you did.
Mm-hmm. I am loving our chat, and I don't want to stop. So I hope you stay with us for the next segment, because we're going to chat more with Stephanie Eastman, who is sharing her story and how the Shepherds of Good Hope changed her life. Stay with us on An Hour to Give. Welcome back to An Hour to Give, and I'm so glad you've stayed with us. Stephanie Eastman is sharing her story of hope from the Shepherds of Good Hope, and you're a very brave lady, and I've really loved how you shared with us that when you grew up and you were a valley girl and in Armprior, and your life took a number of different twists and turns. But that you, when you do walk into the Shepherds of Good Hope now, you are filled with hope, truly.
Truly, yep.
Every
day.
You know, it's Easter. And when we think about Easter, it really is, it's a new beginning. And is that how you have felt about your time at the Shepherds?
Yeah, I was never lonely. And even at Easter, I had always had dinner. I had two or three, more in fact. There's always in the community, there was dinners. So Easter was, it worked out well with me. My Easter, I also did it with my kids. So it was a big thing. My family was always a gathering with Easter egg hunts, did it all. So the chocolate was full, you know, but yeah.
And I think it's important to know that, you know, people that have found themselves in situations like you found yourself, addicted to crack cocaine, having to let other people raise your children, having an opportunity to really kind of, you know, say, I need help, is really one of the most brave things you can do. Mm-hmm. And when we think about the Shepherds of Good Hope and what they do for our community on a daily basis, and now to find yourself as the spokesperson, mm-hmm. how does that feel?
Amazing. I'm still, I don't believe it some days. I'm like, wow, this is too much. But I'm grateful to have this position.
Well,
I'll retire here.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And I think, you know, being a peer support worker really speaks to your character, mm-hmm. Because the Shepherds of Good Hope is really wanting to ensure that everyone walks in the door, walks out, and maybe to a new life, mm-hmm. but they want to feel like they've got every single thing they could mm-hmm. there. So whether it be what you offer, which is fantastic, making women feel beautiful, mm-hmm. it's a beautiful feeling.
Yep. I'll never turn it down. Like usually, you know, I might say, oh, I can't do it right now. You know, can you give me catch 5-10 minutes? And yeah, definitely take out the makeup. It's always there for them to do it.
So tell me, is there somebody special that you can think of? You don't have to name them, but is there someone you can think of that has really inspired you and you've seen their journey? And how
I've seen a lot of women come through lately, like in my time there. And yeah, they're out on their own now, and they used to come back and see me, and Yeah. And I mean, they really look for me. There's a lot of these women. And that's what over the moon for me, really, because when I even get out of my desk, I got like stuffed animals. You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm loved and I love them as well. It's something that I connected, and I would never change places anywhere. I'll never go look for another job anywhere. I can guarantee you.
I can tell you're very happy there.
Yeah, I am.
And I feel like I need to go visit
if
you.
If I had more, actually, if I didn't have the health, and I mean, I'm right here on live. If I didn't have as much health problems as I do right now, I wouldn't probably take one day off. Mm-hmm. And I probably work from 8 to 8. Mm-hmm. And I've done it. You know what I mean? Like, I try my hardest to move mountains for these ladies, and that's my goal. Right.
Do you ever see someone come in that reminds you of yourself?
Sure. Every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what do you say to them?
I tell them, you know, like, listen, just, you know, you'll get it. You'll get through it. It's, you know, just maybe you could, you know, just haven't found your path where you need to find, you know, or so-and-so I'll mention where they need to go or where they could try to look, or, you know, I'm always thinking of for them to, well, did you try this or did you try that, you know? There is other organizations. If the Shepherds is not one for you, then you'll find somewhere else or get with your case manager from the Shepherds so that they can refer you out somewhere else. It's not just because, okay, you're not happy at the Shepherds. There's other places in the community that will work for you just as much as...
And I think the Shepherd's a good hope. You know, when I think about all the donors.
Oh, there's tons.
That are making it a reality. Mm-hmm. For you to have a door to walk through.
That's right.
And,
yep.
You know, what would you say to, you know, their donors to the Shepherds of Good Hope, and they have an opportunity to hear your story, and potentially they could be getting your letter in the mail. Yep. What would you say to them for their donations?
I want to tell them thank you very much. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be in these situations. We're in such need as a community, as a city. You know, so yeah, we need them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for them.
For sure. Yeah. And I think Easter time is a great time for not only donors to reach out to the Shepherds of Good Hope, but it's a great opportunity like you just did.
And I've met some of the donors that come to the Shepherds, because I'll be at one point going and getting some clothes for a client. She needs something, you know, she doesn't have a coat or she doesn't have something. So I'll end up, I'm passing by and there's a donor coming in with like a bags full of like Gucci stuff or whatever it may be, like, you know, that you would just never see. And it's like, wow, you know, so it's very real. It's amazing. It's blown my mind right through the sky sometimes when I look at all that. And it's just, without those donors, we wouldn't succeed as much maybe, you know.
The generosity of people are incredible. And this community is incredible.
Yeah, it is.
It is incredible. And I think, you know, donors relate to your story. You're being very open about your story.
Yeah. And I'm real.
I can tell. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that authenticity, not only in your voice, but truly that you're willing to open yourself up. Mm-hmm. You know, donors do relate to that. And they want to make sure that not only you're cared for.
Even if we have a quick second,
of course.
I did a panning. So I would go, and I, at that point, I don't know the times and the dates, but... And this lady says, oh, no, what's going on? I could see her every day, right? She's on the road, like she's driving by. She'd give me a loony every day. And all of a sudden, she pulls up to the car and she says, so how's things going? Because the light was red. And I said, no, things are going okay, but I got a place. I'll be leaving next at the end of the month. She's so great. Well, next thing you know, she says, can I offer you some lamps and some stuff for your place? I say, oh, that'd be great. And I thought to myself, wow, you know what I mean? Because I legitimately, when I did my panning, it was for legitimately living life just like you or I. So I told her that, and she says, wow. She says, well, can I come up and see you? And I said, yeah, for sure. Next thing you know, she came to my house. She met me. She gave me two lamps, two everything. And, you know, it was just the stuff, my real person, who I am, she was, it was amazing. I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it.
Yeah, you know, I find the generosity of people and giving through the Shepherds of Good Hope is a fantastic way as well of people to be able to give back, especially in a time when we want to make sure that everybody's taken care of and everyone has a beautiful meal on Easter. Because I know the
if
Shepherds...
you're lonely on Easter, there's really no reason. I got to say it. I'm sorry, but yeah. If you're lonely other than being lonely because of what's happening in your life, Right. Yes, I get that. We all are lonely, right? No matter if it's good times or bad times. But for sure, yeah. Shepherds will always be there. There's no lonely, even in the community. You're not lonely at Easter.
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is certainly a place of hope, mm-hmm. and a place that allows you to be yourself, which, yep. I think is fantastic. I know there's a great inclusion and diversity at the Shepherds of Good Hope, and it's an opportunity for, you know, people to have a better quality of life through mm-hmm. that work, for sure. Yeah. When I think about the opportunity for you to share your story, I know you're inspiring other people, but I think there's possibility you're also inspiring someone that's going through an addictions challenge. How does that feel to you?
Well, it's a day, every day is a step ahead, right? I fight this battle every day and always will. It's part of my life. It's not going to go away, no matter if I don't want to or not, but you just got to, you know, say that the next day will be better. You know, it's reach out for those supports and those helps and those things. It's there behind whatever you're looking at. It's there. You just got to reach out.
And when you help one of the women through your peer support program, at the Shepherds of Good Hope, and you see someone come in and she may not be looking her best, and you have an opportunity to work with her and make her feel beautiful again, how does that make you feel?
Amazing. And like I said, I've seen it, so it's true. Peer support worker at the Sheps, we need it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Stephanie Eastman, I'm so glad you joined us today. And we're going to be coming back and speaking with Neil Leslie, and he's going to tell us how you can get involved in the Shepherds of Good Hope and how you can give back this Easter. Stay with us on An Hour to Give. Welcome back to An Hour to Give, and we've been speaking with representatives from the Shepherds of Good Hope, and I'm joined by my friend Neil Leslie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sam.
And Neil, you've been on our show before, and I love the perspective you give us, because, you know, you're really the frontline guy. You're raising money, you're having this opportunity to connect donors with the incredible work being done at the Shepherds of Good Hope. How do you feel about your role?
It's always such a magnificent way to go to work, knowing what we're doing is offering those donors an opportunity to support the work of Shepherds. You've already heard about from Stephanie and the magic she does as a peer support worker, and that's just one of the elements with Inside Shepherds.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as a fundraiser, I've often sort of thought of myself as a matchmaker. So you get to work with incredibly generous donors that have a philanthropic look onto the work you're doing. And then you also get to work with incredible people like Stephanie.
That's right. And it's combining the two routes together. The more we can have that opportunity to share stories such as Stephanie's, to show the road that she's gone down and the importance that Shepherds has played in the success, and now how she can give back to our clients. You can just see it when you see her working with the woman on the floor, the difference between a person who's been there and she can say something from her own experience. The clients relate directly, immediately, and respond really well to her. And it makes such a difference that no matter who our staff are that may have social work backgrounds, if they haven't necessarily been entrenched in that life experience, they can't relate instantaneously with our clients.
It's so true. And I think, you know, she's, you know, very brave to share her story, and at the same time, just opens up the hearts of donors as well, and an opportunity for them to understand how important it is to have somebody working at Shepherds of Good Hope with that kind of experience.
It's true. I mean, every day when I'm in there, it's the staff that make the real difference. When I see them, all of our programs are nonviolent contact intervention, so there's no use of force or touching of clients to try and derail them or to distract them. They use voice, they use mannerisms, and discussion. So with respect and dignity, they're able to diffuse some very potential volatile situations and still trying to help out those clients the best way possible where they're at that day with Inside Shepherds.
You must hear some fantastic stories as well from donors of why giving to the Shepherds of Good Hope warms their heart.
there's so many out there, and they all do it for a different variety of reasons. Here at Easter time, we do have a lot of support from traditional Catholic supporters and supporters from all depths of religion who relate to this time of year and understand that their donations make such a huge difference in the lives of our clients. Whether it's the food that gets a person through a day, or whether it's the bed, it's our end game is of course supportive housing, and that takes even more support of staffing around it. Most of our programs run at about 75% being staff cost driven. And when we have all of our programs operating 24/7 across the city, that's an expensive price tag that donors actually give that impact and realize a difference for the people living in our shelter and in our supportive housing units.
I think a lot of times people think of homeless shelters and the work that you do as being kind of a winter problem, if you will, meaning, you know, you don't have many people in the summertime because it's nice out, and that's just not the case. Can you share with us how important it is, even in spring and summer, that donors continue to remember the Shepherds of Good Hope?
Well, you make a great point there, Sam. It's actually normal public guessing work is that it's busier in the summertime than in the winter. And it's actually busier in the summertime because people are transient. They can go to the big city and see an opportunity. Once they get there, that opportunity is not necessarily there. They get lost and they come to us for help. In the wintertime, there's less people flowing in and out of the city. So although we're busy and we're busy past capacity, it is still year-round our need to try and help serve our clients and our residents to make their lives better.
And because Ottawa has got those extremes of minus 40, we also have the plus 35s, which means it's hot days and we want to have people not be out on the street. And that's why I think your programming of you know, bringing people in and helping them with obviously addictions, but that second stage piece, really creating a quality of life for somebody and making sure that, you know, all of their lives are taken care of, just not taking them off the street.
That's right. It's a continuum of care that we're looking at
and
meeting that real basic needs each day of their lives. We're in the process now of doing a new building on Montreal Road, which will be our newest supportive housing, 42-room supportive housing building. And when we build that one over the next year, we'll have the same number of beds, rooms, in our supportive housing than we do in our shelter. So it's a real benchmark for us that we're really proud that we've achieved, because that's our desired end game, is to have people in supportive housing with the supports around them, the people that care and meet all their needs on a daily basis.
We have listeners, very generous listeners here at 1310 News. And if someone was thinking to themselves, this Easter, we'll just pick $100. Their family wants to dedicate $100 to the work of the Shepherds of Good Hope. What would $100 do to help change someone's life?
$100 goes a long ways. I mean, we have ways of maximizing our dollar gifts. And so this Easter, it'll buy food on a regular basis. Come the summertime, we have a group of volunteers that do Hope Garden, where they actually last year grew 7,000 pounds worth of fresh vegetables, which is then used in our soup kitchen and in our supportive housing units to supply good nutritional food. So right now, we're gathering the seed monies to grow the garden, but that will have a huge return over the whole season and into the fall.
Amazing. And I think, you know, as we look forward and think forward to the supportive housing that's happening on Montreal Road, if let's say there was a CEO of a company listening, or someone in a leadership perspective that said, we want to dedicate, you know, let's say $5,000, what would $5,000 do at your second stage housing?
It takes it a long way. We have a lot of support from corporations. What we try and do with them is not just take their dollars and their cash donation. What we'd like to do is implicate their staff in some part of the process so that they see the tangible difference that their donation makes. And it all adds up. We are going to need a good couple million dollars towards our portion of the building. But everybody's donations help contribute towards that. And then if we can get their employees engaged, it would be a wonderful opportunity for them to really, whether it's a team builder, whether it's just getting exposure to feeling better about themselves and what they have inside their company. And so they can feel free to contact me at Shepherd's Good Hope, and we would be able to do that to make that happen.
I know a great corporate friend of this show, An Hour to Give, and also a great corporate partner to you is Maxis Staffing and Consulting. And I know how much they enjoy spending time at the Shepherd's and giving back to them. How important is someone like a partner like Brian Brulette and the people at Maxis?
Very important, because they can come in, they make their monthly gifts from the potluck lunches that they do, the staff, small fundraising activities. They come in on a monthly basis and make their donations. We're now looking at having their staff come in and actually help serve lunch for the same reasons, to get them even more fully engaged so that they can get an experience as to what it is that they're doing with their dollars.
So important, that accountability piece for you and I as fundraisers is a really important piece. What are some of the other ways that you can sort of show the donors how their monies are being used?
Well, the easiest way for us is we try and get donors in to see the facilities. And it's not the facilities, it's the people around the facilities that they
absolutely
end up, that they end up seeing and meeting. People like Stephanie and working with the peer support program. Ones that come, they arrive at the front door of the shelter, and part of the first sense is, there may be a police car and ambulance outside. And a lot of the public think that's a bad thing, when in reality, that's a great thing, because we have a partnership program with paramedics and police services where they can bring people who are inebriated and intoxicated to our facility rather than taking them to the jail or to the hospital, which saves the city about $2 million a year. It gives the clients a satisfaction of coming in and getting incredible service with us. And that's what people see. It's a little mini hospital with three service providers partnering together seamlessly to our clients on the first floor, second floor managed alcohol program, men's program, up to the women's floor. And in each place, they see caring staff looking after the clients on a daily basis.
Beautifully said. Neil Leslie, it's always a pleasure. I always learn so much from you.
Thank you a lot, Sam, and we appreciate this opportunity.
For sure. And, you know, if you've been listening and you're inspired by Neil and Stephanie and Deirdre, please feel free to reach out to the Shepherds of Good Hope and this Easter. Maybe include them in your giving. You can certainly visit them on the internet and find a way to give back to them. This has been An Hour to Give. I'm Sam LaPrade. Have a lovely weekend.